Red light is on. Yeah. Okay. Well, Mr. Roy, just to give you a little head start on us, we've Ed goes through Acts. He's up to Acts on Sunday, and I'm running up on him. we were going through from Genesis, and I'll meet him at Acts.
Okay.
To try to give an understanding of God's overall program.
Right.
Because the scripture is progressive. You know that. You've been reading. And a lot of times we'll jump in here and not know that all that leads up to here.
Right.
And I think that's where a lot of saints... They might be sincere. They might be earnest. Like Paul said, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge.
Right.
Where you just have a verse here and a verse there, theology. Well, that's not God's aim. He wants us to have a scriptural theology. All scriptures given by, and all scriptures profitable.
For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness.
That.
The man.
That he might be perfect,
perfect.
Mature. So we have, you know what, we have babies in church now. And, you know, I like to give, my wife reads a lot of books, and I like to give an example. If you would pick up a book, any book, pick up a book and read one page out of one chapter, then close it up, and then tell me what the book's about. You can't do it.
No.
You can tell me what you think is in there. You can tell me what, how you maybe liked it to end, or you know, or even tell me about the character. You may not know who that is. Especially, you know, you couldn't do that with a book 5 chapters long. So why would you try that with a book 66 books long and all the characters that are in there? Can you see the confusion that you, and you see what we have, but that doesn't stop saints from doing that. That doesn't stop us from going in, grabbing a verse, and we run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, who is this guy? Well, I don't know. How did he get up? I don't know. You remember when Philip was going and he was with the eunuch?
Mm-hmm.
He had been all day at the synagogue with the
Jews?
With the Jews. Who's the synagogue? With the chief, whoever, the scribes. He had been all there with the scribes all day. And he was on the way home, and the scripture said he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Lord said, catch him. And he goes there, and he says, I'm paraphrasing this, what you reading? And he says, I'm reading Isaiah the prophet. And he says, tell me, is this man speaking? Is he speaking of himself? Right. Or is he talking about somebody else? Here's a man, he didn't know who this was.
Right.
And he said the right thing. How can I? Except some man should guide me. What we do, we don't guide, for one, or we... blind guide. we'll let people tell us anything.
Right. We're not like those noble Bereans.
Who
searched, they listened and then went home and searched the scriptures diligently.
Daily.
To see whether they were sin or so.
You know what the next verse said? Therefore, many of them believed. That's why. They believed because they
searched
daily.
Right.
To see whether they be, we don't do that as a whole. We just go. We like to be entertained. We don't like to be educated.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, I said all that to say, that's what we try to do is to cover what's going on here. And what started here is God was in a recovery process. He's recovering what Adam lost back here.
Right.
Reclamation.
It's a kingdom. The whole goal of this is, is this out here. Is a kingdom out here. Well, where is it? Where's millennium? Well, it's not up there, is it?
You know what? It's missing.
It's missing. It's amillennialist. What?
Look, you go over there.
Go look at it. Yeah. The whole goal is this right here.
Right.
Is a kingdom. And he's recovering what Adam lost.
Right.
What Adam gave up. And what he's coming through, we talked about how he picked Noah. When he picked Noah, Noah became the king of the earth. He was the only one. Wasn't the only one there? He was the only one around, wasn't he? He told
seven other people.
Well, he was the man of the boat.
Yes.
Man of the house, he was the man of the boat. And the Lord said, you get off, be fruitful, multiply, and what?
Replenish
the earth. He was the man. But there was also an adversary. He didn't get off the boat, but he was waiting for Noah when he got off the boat. And as the nations began to increase, there was somebody working behind the scenes to keep that kingdom from being established. You know what's interesting about this? We didn't cover this. Is when the Lord had came out, he told them to scatter. He told them to go separate. And what they did was came together. And they said, and they built it a tower whose top reached the heavens. And they said, come, let us make a name for ourselves. And we think about that, they try to build a tower, you know, to reach the heaven, like climbing up to heaven.
Right.
It was a top whose, like an astrological tower, whose top had probably, I would say, inscriptions of heavenly constellation or stars. We're gonna wait for Melissa. You all right?
Hi, Melissa.
All right.
Hello.
Anyway, but I lost my thought. But anyway, oh right, and they were that was in direct opposition to what God said,
right.
And who would want? Well, we already know who would want to prevent that word from going out, but God still he scrambled their languages to make them go out. And he did. And out of all those pagan men, idol worshipers, he picked one man out the bunch, Abraham. And he made that promise to Abraham that I'll make you a great nation. As a matter of fact, we won't see it here, but Joshua was talking to the children of Israel. He says, you know that your fathers on the other side of the flood did what? Served other gods. Abraham was an idolater. Or is it idolater? He was an idol worshiper. But God picked him out and says, I will make you the new king to establish my kingdom. And he says, this land, still, I forgot to get those maps. This man, did you? Okay. He promised him a land. And that land was Canaan. And Canaan is really Jerusalem. And he promised the same thing to his son Isaac, same thing to Jacob, same thing to his Israel became, Jacob became Israel, who got the 12 tribes. And he promised through that seed that he would bless the earth. And we know that he's doing that through his grace. You know, I was coming over here. You know what I thought about was God. If God was on earth and had a kingdom, it would be called what?
The kingdom of God.
So, but when John came, if the God of heaven set up a kingdom on earth, it would be called what? The kingdom of heaven on earth. And that's exactly what John was saying when he came, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Repent, for the kingdom of is at hand.
Yeah.
That's what we talked about that Sunday. Ed. But we live in a democracy, right?
The Democratic Republic.
Ruled by a democracy is a demo is of the people. Kratis rule. We rule people. The people rule. But what God is setting up is a theocracy, which is theos.
God rules.
God rules.
A benevolent dictator.
A benevolent.
Sometimes.
Right.
Well, I'm thinking in the eventual.
Hold that. Well, we won't look
Words
at that.
Of the spirit, right?
So, but anyway, if God and He's holy, all the things God is holy. He's spiritual. He's sinless. He's righteous. He's just. His character. So His subjects would be what? They would be the same way, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
That's why when he makes this nation, he told that nation, he says, I want you to be a kingdom
of priests.
Of priests. Mm-hmm. So if I have a holy land, a holy kingdom, I'm a holy God, my people have to be holy people. So he brings these people out of Egypt, a very unholy place. And he says, I want to take you to my sanctuary, to my kingdom, where you can serve me, where you can be a blessing to the world. The thing that I promised here. The thing that I wanted him to do. And he comes down here and he says, I'll make sure that you're bankrupt when you get out. Spiritually. Because if you think you can do it, mm-hmm. I can't use you. Mm-hmm. So as long as you think you got something to offer, I can't use you. Mm-hmm. So I'll let you stay here for 400 years to run you out of gas. And then you'll know when they came out, you know what the Lord said? He said, stand still and see
the salvation.
Of who?
Of the Lord.
Of the who?
Of the Lord.
See my salvation. Yeah. Not, come on, let's figure out a way to get out of here. So he comes through, and they come through, he redeems those people. Mm-hmm. But we know when they got to the point where, when God took them to the wilderness, he says, I'm taking you through here to prove you, to see whether you're going to walk in my way or not. Mm-hmm. See, before we get over here, you know, I want you to get over here and cut up. And that's what they did. He said, I want to prove you. See if you're walking my way. And they said, yeah, we'll do it. Yeah. All you said, we'll do. And they sign on for a contract. The law. We talk about the law. Performance. Fleshly performance. They told God, the same God that brought them out of Egypt on eagle's wings. They told that God, the same God they murmured and complained to through the wilderness, the same God they didn't think could provide water, the same God they didn't think could provide bread, the same God who led them 40 years without their clothes waxing old, without the shoes getting holes in them. That same God, they got to there and they says, can he? They always, can he? Can he? Can he do this? And he's telling them all the way, he says, I am Who shall I say has sent me unto you?
I am that I am.
Can he?
I am.
I am. Remember when Lazarus was in the grave?
Mm-hmm. And I am the resurrection.
He said what?
I am the resurrection.
She said, if my brother, if you had been here.
My brother died.
And she says, don't worry about it. He said, your brother will rise again. You know what she said? I know. I know. Where? In the last day in the resurrection. And I can see the Lord. He probably was like. He says,
I am the resurrection.
I am
whatever you need.
Whatever you need me to be. So who should I say has sent me?
I am.
Okay. We need water. I am the water of life. Yeah. Or I need bread. I am the. You ever notice in John the seven I ams that the Lord uses in John? But anyway, he goes through here.
All right.
And he says, I am whatever you need me to be. And he goes through all, you know what? Jehovah Jireh.
Jehovah
Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. I'm the Lord that healeth thee. Jehovah Nissi. I'm the Lord who will fight for thee. Is where we left off at. When he gets them to that border. And Moses, he says, Moses, you won't go in.
Yeah.
The lawgiver, not by works.
Yeah.
So Moses went, he took him as far as he can go, which we talked about Galatians. The law was our
schoolmaster
to bring us unto that we might be justified by faith. So Moses takes him right up to the promised land. And I think you like that too, where the Lord, he said, let me go over, please. And he says, come up to the mount. He says, I'll let you look, but you won't go over. And you know, what did he say? What did he say? Speak to me no more on this matter. You got to love that, don't you?
Yeah, that was the final word.
You said, please, can I go over, please? And he said, you can't. I'm sure he didn't know the lesson there, but we can look back.
Amen.
And we see that, you know, there's no, like you said, there's no way he was going in. Absolutely. But he had a minister, Joshua.
Yeah.
Joshua means
Jesus.
Jehovah Jesus. Saves. Jehovah saved. Jehovah Savior. And that's in the Greek, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see this, the Holy Spirit, you got to appreciate that, right?
Amen.
He says, this man, the Jehovah Savior, he'll take you in.
Amen.
So he says, now you lay your hands on Joshua and give him the Spirit. It's time to look some verses, ain't it? Instead of quoting it. I believe that's Deuteronomy 24. Deuteronomy. Yeah, I need these. It's Deuteronomy 34:9. And let's see. Deuteronomy. Numbers. Well, yeah, get Numbers in one hand. Numbers 27 and Deuteronomy 34. All right. What do you have first? Numbers? Numbers 27 first. Start of verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up into this mount Abarim, and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes. That is, the water of Meribah in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Lord, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight, and thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. All right, flip over to Deuteronomy 34. Mm-hmm. You know, that's thank God that that's the way you do it. What we do now is we just pick our family member and he's the next in line, whether he's qualified or not. And then you see it go downhill because we operate by fleshly qualifications. He said, you pick a man, and Moses was dedicated. You pick another man who's dedicated. You know what Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:2, he says, the things that you have learned from me, he said, the same commit thou to
faithful
men who shall what? Be able to teach others. Didn't he say that?
Yes.
And in particular, that's why the grace message is almost unheard of, because you don't have faithful men. You don't have faith who's faithful to the, not to the building, not to the pastor, to Scripture, and not just to the Lord. Wow. Yeah, how many people they always say, I love the Lord. He said, if you love me, you would. Now, I'm just saying that because if we love him, we got to love his
word.
And if it comes to a difference where our belief system conflicts with his word, and you say you love him, right? But you don't love him enough to drop that bad doctrine.
Mm-mm. It's love in name only.
And you got to pray about it. You know, you say, here's the death of the testator. Well, I got to pray about that. Uh oh.
Never seen that before.
Right. But but whatever it is, whatever you present to a person, if it's bad doctrine, and then they, you know, begin to backpedal, but they'll say, well, I love the Lord. Faithful to the word. 34:9. Wow. Start at 1. I just read real fast, I guess. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre until this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. Why?
For Moses laid his hands upon him.
For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. And that's in Deuteronomy. Look at Joshua 1, which brings us to Joshua. So Joshua is ready to pick up where Moses left off. The children of Israel should be obedient to him, right? This scripture said they were ready, they were hearkening to him, they were obeying him. Joshua 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, you ever thought why the Lord always says Joshua, the son of Nun? Joshua, the son of Nun. He always said Joshua, the son of Nun. You ever notice that?
Says,
I don't know.
Oh, you was asking. That's a question. Well, white men will tell you just a second.
We know who his father was, right? Not none, N-O-N-E. You know what? Maybe that's why. Yeah. It's like a pun on words. Like he could say the real Jesus was the son of none. No natural man anyway. Yeah. Anyway, that's a stretch. Eh? Yeah. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Here's Joshua picking up. But they're still under what? They are still under that contract. That is, if you do this, I'll do this. If you do this, I'll do this. Now, you remember all those curses we went over back in Leviticus and Deuteronomy? That's what they're under. Right now, it's going great. Right? Because, you know why it's going great? Because the Lord has been operating on the fine print. Remember the fine print where he says, I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and to whom I'll be merciful, to whom I will. He's been gracious and he's been merciful. That's why he's bringing them in despite them. But they are still under that contract. And after a while, you know what? You're going to see the Lord, he says, it's time to honor the contract. Look at chapter 2. And Joshua, 2 verse 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out to Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And you know the story about that when she says, you know, we've heard. Matter of fact, look down to verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and all that the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have what? Heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Shihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is what?
In heaven, Lord, above, and in earth.
That's what? Remember we talked about the Most High God? Mm-hmm. Who is the what?
Possessor of heaven and earth.
The possessor of heaven and earth. Now we can really call him now the Most High God, the what? Not the, just the possessor, the repossessor of heaven and earth.
Okay.
He's coming back. You know what? He said, that's the land I want. That's the land I'm going to get. And he says, everywhere you put your foot down, he said, it's yours. Because I promised you that. He promised him that because that's where he wanted. Did you raise your hand?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. All right. Verse, look at chapter 3. Verse 3. Yeah, I do. Chapter 3, verse 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail do what? The Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold the ark of the covenant of who? The Lord of all the earth. You know what? That's again, when you see that, you should always think repossession. Repossession. When he said the Lord, anything, when you see the Most High God or the Lord of all the earth, and this said, it said a lot, you always think, you know what? He's taking back what's his. And he's getting ready to do that. And the ark is going before them, just like the cloud in the wilderness. Now the ark is going before them. I got you. That was a good point you made last week too, Karen, about the cloud. You know, that's as soon as Moses leaves, now it's, you know what, the cloud's gone, but now it's the ark.
Right. Supernatural.
And you know what's in the ark?
Moses.
The law. The broken law, right?
Yeah.
The pot of manna.
Aaron's divided rod.
Just Aaron's rod. That, right. Now, we won't go through that, but all you got to do is go back and see how Aaron's rod budded, what the pot of manna was about. You know what? I'll say that after class and for time. But those three things are in there and they mean something. And it all refers to Christ. Would you say that? So you know who's going before them.
Right.
The Lord.
And he says, the ark is going before you. And he says, this is how we will drive out all the inhabitants. Who's doing the fighting?
The Lord.
He just said, I will drive them out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Chapter 5. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan, westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, Make thee sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives, and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskins. And this is the cause. Why did Joshua circumcise? All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. I think the Lord wants you to know that they weren't circumcised. He's telling them, oh, they weren't circumcised, so they circumcised them because they weren't circumcised. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of this place is called Gilgal until this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the corn, of the old corn of the land, on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So here's a good, he circumcises those, the new group. 40 years, he told them, he says, you went in, they gave a bad, they murmured and grumbled. He says, you won't go in. He took them back. Can you imagine? 40 years, they just went around in a circle until they all died out. And he took those young ones, and he says, you guys are coming in. And he says, right here, he circumcised them. You know, we talked about circumcision, right? He said, okay, just start all over again. He said, they didn't do it because they, as the Lord said about Caleb and Joshua, they had a different spirit in them. He says, okay, here's starting all over again. Give you a chance to rely on me and not you. So we're going to circumcise you again. And we're going to find out. He's going to give them, he's going to set it before them again. Watch this. Chapter I meant to say something about the manna. The, you know, after they ate that, they came to the land and they ate the fruit of the Canaan. And then they said the manna ceased. And after that, they had no more manna. You got an idea why they did that? As long as they were in the wilderness, they did what? Because they said, the only reason I can think of a verse in Romans that says, what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? While they were in the wilderness, first thing they said was they needed water and they needed food. And the Lord gave them manna. Didn't he? Every day. And they did eat angel food. But he promised them a land flowing with what? So now they come over, and the first time they eat of that land that he promised them, they get manna no more. What did they expect all that time in the wilderness?
The promised land.
The promised land. So when they get over here, why go back?
They got it.
This the promise had been what? It had been fulfilled. So that the Lord would be. Paul said this is just an example. Paul said this: If I build again the things I want to once destroyed, I make myself a transgressor.
Right.
Well, if God gets over here and he gives them what he promised already, why go back and give them something? That's kind of saying, well, I can't really sustain you, so we had to go back to the original. And they got it. He said they didn't eat manna. That was it. They're done. The Lord made good. And you know what? As we go on, Joshua say, he said, you know that everything he promised, he delivered. From the start to now, everything he promised you, he been good on. He says, now what about your end of the bargain? And they.
That ties back to the same thing as the other with the cloud and the handoff, because even in Corinthians where it says, you know, after he gives the examples, and then he says, but now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest is love. Because when the Lord comes, we've got our hope. When, you know, our faith is fulfilled, we've seen the Lord. Therefore, faith is gone because we're seeing him, right? I mean, it's not no longer we're hoping for something that we're not walking. We've got sight, so we're
right.
Not walking by. So those things pass away.
Yeah.
Which, and love remains.
Yeah.
And that's what we were talking a little bit about, the completed word of God also last week, is the fact that you don't need supernatural, you don't need all that stuff when the Lord has already revealed everything to you. Everything he did, is doing, and will do, he's already recorded. So why would you need somebody to come up and tell you that the Lord told me that he wants this for you? And what is it, something different than what that is it something different than that he wants me, that, you know, you got the inside story? But they'll always, you know, it's always a twist on it. And if you do that, that's what's bad about horoscopes, is the fact that after a while, you know what, you read it and you say, wow, you know what, that kind of happened today. Then you read it again and you say, wow, and all of a sudden, you begin to let that dictate.
Instead of the Ark of the Covenant.
Instead of, right. Instead of that, instead of listening to God's word, you'll be looking at Ann Landers. And
self-fulfilling prophecy.
And see what, and that's, you know what, and you'll begin to alter your lifestyle around the horoscope.
Right.
To either make it happen or keep it from happening.
And it's subconscious, though. When the Lord, you know what, when he first started dealing with Israel, he said, when God created the heaven and earth, he said, these stars, the moons, everything, he said, this is for signs, for days, for months, for years. He says, now, when you see this, he says, you just make sure that you don't start to worship them. It was something in the stars and the dates and the moon and all those things where they can look at it and they could, it was information there. And he said, you just make sure you don't worship them. And sure enough, what?
Well, I was just thinking in modern times, how many things have we heard on TV about this December 21st, 2012? And the Mayan calendar and all. I mean, that's dates going all the way back to.
That's right. And that's, it was a time where, you know what, things are a lot clearer to them back then than they are to us now. And that's where you get those people, they call in Scripture prognosticators. You ever seen that in Scripture where he said that you, when Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he would say, he says, go call the my sorcerers.
Okay.
Go call them up.
Janice and Jim.
And they, you know what? They knew all that stuff. So much so, even when they went into captivity with Daniel was in there, and they called when Nebuchadnezzar had the dream, and he says, go call my guys, and so he can tell me what this dream is about. And he called him, and even Joseph, when Joseph was in prison. But they called him and said, well, we don't know, because he said, you know what, the secret things belong to God. And they said, well, there's a man here named Daniel, and the Lord, you know what, he got it. Call him. And he come in, and he said, you know what, the Lord, he began to say, this is your dream. And they said, oh, are you the man, Daniel? And he said, no. He says, I got this from the Lord, the revealer of secrets, not me. It's not in me. The interpretation is not in me. But it was there. And it was something that they knew. And they began to take that. What are we talking about? A horoscope. They began to take that information and use it for fleshly reasons. And it's no different today. Like I said, we probably have half of the insight that they had back then. Aren't you glad?
Yeah, I am.
Because if they had the information that those people prior to us had, we would have some real test of faith around here. Because we'd be, wait a minute, you know, we'll get back here in a second here. When I go see my grandmother in Mississippi, we go by this place called Sister Sophie's. And she's a palm reader, yeah. And every time I ride by there, I say, I'm going to go in there one day. I just want to see what she's going to say, you know. But I never... Hey, but you know what? She's got on her. You know what she's got on her door and her building? She's got all kind of astrological symbols. Yep. And he said, "You just make sure when you get here that you don't worship them, that you don't begin to worship them." We talked about that tower. That's what it was. It was information that we don't know about, and they did. So that would be a natural intellectual thing to be drawn to this wisdom. That's what the Masons do. Yeah, the Masonic temple. That's what they do. And they always, you know, they say we got hidden wisdom. They do. They know there's some things there. Everything that we think is against Scripture, that's where they got it from. So it's not totally wrong. It's just what he told you not to do. But they take it and then they make a religion out of it. Just like tongues. You know, tongues is not wrong. He's just not doing it today. But they'll take it and they'll make a religion out of it. We call it Pentecostals. Or baptism. It's not wrong. It's in Scripture. He used it. But if he moved on and you didn't, you can take it out and you begin to make a religion out of it and you call it
Baptist.
Right. Whatever it is. So he says, don't do that for them. You got a comment there? I saw you.
Well, I just, it stuck with me that when you talked about they're eating the corn, they've got the real thing now. That, and when we, what we just went over with Moses, that he gets to look over and see the land. And the Lord named the land for him according to each tribe. That, that over there, that's Dan's, you know, and that over there, that's Ephraim's, you know. And then I've been shopping for maps, and we've just seen the map that has each of their land with each of the name on it. And so it's like, in the Lord's mind, it's already theirs. And he shows Moses to it, it's already got their names on it. And now they're over there and they're eating of the corn of it. And they're going to get that land, each one of them to each tribe. They just don't even know yet what the
rights
are or anything, although Moses got to see it. You know, so.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And you know what? Best, when he first started off, he says, when he said, look, eastward,
right,
westward, northward, southward. He said, the land that you see, I have what? Way back here. He could have told him right here. He could have said, that's Dan's. That's, he didn't even have any kids yet.
Right.
Isn't that God? That's the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God.
Amen.
It was amazing, ain't it?
It is.
And he tells Joshua, he says, we going in now. He said, I'm going to drive them out. And look at verse, I think it's in 2 actually, where he, they actually,
you filmed Joshua?
Yeah, Joshua, they actually started a new I tell you what, because I know where it is, but there's some things I wanted to cover to get up to that point, and I know we won't make it, so we're going to stop right there. And
you had something you want to say about the three items in the covenant, in the Ark of the Covenant. You said you'd get to that at the end. You'd say that at the end. There's something I want to say about that.
Yeah, all the things of Christ.
Aaron rods, buzzing.
Oh, the manna and the law and
budding rods.
I think we pretty much that it was like a type of Christ. It was, you know, because the ark is a coffin,
right.
And he put the law
in the,
because with him, your works is a dead issue for him, not for you. Maybe you might think there's some strength in you that, you know, some things that you can do to please God. But when you start making deals with God about your performance, he says, that's dead. Go ahead and bury that. You can even bury that idea. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his
mercy,
he saved us. And that was why he put the law in the coffin, because he knew that before he even gave it, he knew the law was broken. Didn't he?
Yeah.
It wasn't even a question in his mind. It was for them to get to the point where they would say, and that's where he laid it out in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. He said, I'm going to wait for you to realize that you can't do it.
Yeah.
And they won't get it until way over. And the rod was Aaron's rod that budded was a type of the resurrection. Is, you know, when they begin to challenge his authority. And he says, well, you get a rod, you get a rod, you get a rod. And you come out. And then we're going to see whoever rise bud, then he's the man. And we know now that Aaron's rod that bud, it was a type of the resurrection. Christ is the man that we look to. Don't we?
Yes.
There's no salvation in
any of it.
not even Muhammad. You know, the Muslims, they're coming on strong. And they were saying Muhammad. They say, we're not saying that Jesus wasn't a prophet. We're not saying that. We're not saying that he didn't do mighty works. We're not even saying that he was not resurrected. We are saying that he said he, the same thing the Jews said, that he made himself equal with God. He said that he was God's son, but God doesn't beget. God is not a man. He cannot have children. So that means that Jesus Christ is a, you know, you Christians are lying about this man. He didn't, and they said, they say that he didn't even say that about himself. That's where they don't follow scripture, because he did say that about himself. And even if he didn't say, I'm the Lord's son, he said it, and the Jews knew what he meant. They knew what he meant when he said, he says, you, they knew.
Moses looked to, or
they
to
knew.
See my day.
They knew. Before Abraham was, I knew. They knew. Yeah, you can't. And the pot of, you know, I heard you know what I'm talking about? No, no.
George.
Yeah. I heard
it.
Yeah. I heard him. No, I heard him a little bit of it. Heard him talking about manna one day. And I had read a verse, you know, I'm just going to look. We're done with the other part, but I just want to look at this real quick. In Exodus, why he told them to put the pot of manna in the yeah, is it Exodus, Deuteronomy? I think it's in Deuteronomy. It's at the last chapter of either Exodus or Deuteronomy. Exodus. Well, it must be Deuteronomy. Yeah, it must be Deuteronomy. Exodus. It's not. Deuteronomy. Nope. Well, I'll tell you what it says. Where they, he told them.
Exodus 40. When he talked about the second verse, about they put therein the ark of the testimony and
covered
the ark of the veil.
You said Exodus 40?
Yes.
And he put it in the ark. No, that's it's not that far.
Well,
he said. Take a omer, put a omer of manna in the pot, and then put it in the ark.
Put an omer in a pot.
Right.
Put the pot in the
put a omer of manna in the pot, and then put the pot in the ark.
Okay.
16. Exodus 16.
We were close.
Well, let's see. And this has, I won't say it has nothing to do with nothing, but it's just, it does tie in, and it was just interesting to me because this is one of the things where, but I heard, when I heard him, he used a totally different take on it. And I'm not saying that he's right, but that, I just didn't see that. Yeah. He says this, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein.
What verse?
16:33. Tell you what, back up to 30. back up to
31.
Verse 1. No, we're not going that far. Back up to 23. Yeah. You know, this is when he told him to go out and get the manna, and he says on the seventh day, or on the sixth day, get twice as much, because on the seventh day, it won't be there. And true to Israel, there was some people out there filling around for manna on the Sabbath. Verse 23, he says, and he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that which ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up till the morning, as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass, what? That there went out some of the people on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. He says, and it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the Sabbath day for to gather, and they what? And they found none, right. And it came, and the Lord said unto Moses, it might have been, I don't know. And it said to the, and the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof manna. And it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commandeth. What thing, Moses? Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. And here it is. He says, now an omer is the tenth part of an ephah. And for years, you know what I say? I say, Lord, why? It just seems out of place. He goes all through that, and then he says, now an omer is the tenth part of an ephah. Okay. And I said, you know what? True to scripture, I said, I know there's something there, Lord. I said, but I don't know what it is, and I'll just keep going until you show it to me. Mm-hmm. And this opened up so many things to me, and I'm not going to talk about them all tonight, but look at Numbers chapter 5. Numbers 5, he says, 5:15. And this is, well, he said, then shall the man bring his wife unto the priest, and he shall bring her offering for her. The what? The tenth part of an ephah of barley meal. Now, this is not manna, but it's the tenth part of an ephah. He shall pour no oil upon it, nor put frankincense thereon, for it is an offering, what? Of jealousy. An offering of what? Memorial. Bringing to remembrance. There you go. When I read that, the Lord said, that's it.
So he was
holding it over Joshua's head the whole time that his father was out there on
he was
none was out
dust,
there.
That's right. You know what he was showing him? He says, put this pot in there.
Yep.
He says, it's an offering of jealousy, an offering of memorial, an offering, bring in to remembrance iniquity. He says, put this pot in there. It's a memorial. And pretty much he's saying, I just want you to remember what you were, how bad you were, and what I did for you. Because you know what? You picked up all the way you rebelled. But I, in my grace, I sustained you all the way. I fed you with manna. Even when I told you it wasn't going to be there, you went out and got it. I gave you water. I gave you all this. And you know what? He said, take a pot and put in it the tenth part of an ephah. And it's, you know what? It's to bring to iniquity to remembrance. And I just thought about, you know what? Paul said this, which is another important thing is about the number 10. That's where Pastor Jordan was talking about something about Israel and their national something. But that also is a very important when you say the tenth part of an ephah, it opened up a lot of information about the number 10. But that's a whole nother situation.
Yes,
but Paul said, you know what? He says, remember in time past that we were Gentiles in the flesh.
Strangers from the covenants of promise.
Now, we don't. We thank God for the grace that he extended to us, don't we?
Right.
And we go into this Christmas season, and everybody is caught up in the gift giving and the commercial part of it. And they'll say, you know what, Jesus is the reason. He's the true reason for the season. But you know what? And it's just me. I could be wrong. I'm not being judgmental. But I don't think if you don't know the grace message, you don't even really appreciate what he did. Not fully. How can you? I just don't believe you can. Because when Paul prayed in Ephesians, he says, I want you to know what is the depth, the breadth, the length, and the height, and to know the love of Christ that passes all knowledge. He says, if he's praying for us to know that, right? And it comes through information. He said, I want you to know what's the breadth, the length, the depth, the height. He's not talking about the love of Christ, because he says that in the next verse. He says, and to know the love of Christ. That is to, you know what? To know it is like, you know what? I know Mr. Roy because he came in last week. But I don't know Mr. Roy. Right? Like Moses. He says, I've been through the wilderness 40 years. And then he gets to God and says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And the Lord could have said, what? Speaking of that, Lord, show us. Show us the Father.
Have I not been with you all this time?
He said, have I been here a long time and you asked me that? So we have, you know what? That intimate relationship with the Lord because we know the right division. We know him that in a way that only right division could bring you into him. To that end. Paul said this. He says, I don't want to be found in him, have my own righteousness. He said, but I want to know him and the fellowship. That's, he said, and the power of his resurrection. You don't get that from Peter, James, John, Acts. You get that from Paul. Because he takes you, I won't say in the bedroom, but he takes you in the private, he takes you to the Holy of Holies. And you know what? We get that bones of his bones, flesh of his flesh. And he said, you know what? Who had known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? He said, but we have. How can you get that and you stuck back here?
You can't.
You can't get it. How can you get that? And one of the guys in class 30, he says, you ever read Revelation? I mean, here we go. Sure, I've read Revelation. But, I mean, you know, you can read it. But you know what? That's information he said to Daniel. He says, you write this down and you close the book up for the time to come. It don't mean too much to you right now because it's for what? The time to come. So you're not going to get that information when he begins to reveal the information. Even though it's written, he will begin to illuminate those people who will need it.
Amen.
It's future. So, but you know what? You go over there and you show people not how smart you are, but how much we don't really understand right now about that time frame. But you still can read it, you know, and you say, wow, it's going something really is going to happen out there.
Yeah.
But here we have what we appreciate is in this Romans to Philemon.
So I go back to Deuteronomy 29:29 because it's still a secret thing to the Lord.
That's exactly what Moses was saying. He said the secret things belong to God. He said, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our children that we might what? Do them. They were, you know what? He said, you might not know how I'm dealing with you right now, but you got the law. You do that. So don't try to fill in the blanks for God. But now we're in this mystery age and he's revealed a lot to us.
Yes.
But you know what? Now, people think of it now as it's still secret. Because how many people you could talk to Mr. Roy and say, you know what, this is very simple. Did you know Paul was your apostle? Wow. I'm telling you. They don't know. It's something we take for granted. But most people, you say, if you take away Paul, you don't hear from God. You Gentiles.
Right.
He says, I'm the apostle to you.
Gentiles.
An apostle is one sent from God.
Amen.
He said, if I send a man, you know, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach? How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel who bring glad tidings of good things. If you don't hear from Paul, what do you have to believe? Nothing. You'll be waiting for Zechariah. You'll be waiting for a Jew to come in and say, let's go to the synagogue.
His writings could very easily be in red ink.
That's right.
Actually, all of them. All of it could be in red ink. That's where we got the red letter syndrome, where we think
John 1:1.
I'm sorry, Melissa. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, to make mention of what you were talking about, while you were talking about the Omar manna, and the scripture that came to me was in from St. John, in the 6th chapter, where he said, he was letting Mr. Jesus speaking to the Jews, and he told them, he said, your father did eat manna.
Mm-hmm.
But he turned around and Jesus told him, but I am that bread. He justified that you all do not have to look for the cherubim anymore. Don't look for the Ark of the Covenant anymore.
Right.
I'm that bread. And they didn't get it.
That came down from heaven.
Right. I'm that bread. Moses didn't get them that bread. And he was trying to instruct them. But they still refused. And so it's so simple that I want the Ark of the Covenant. Let's get these things. They still searching for it. They think they found it and all that. But he have literally walked and told them, I'm that bread.
Mm-hmm.
And they yet reject, or they're still rejecting him. So that came to me while he was talking, and I thought that would be good to share.
It is. You know what he said about manna, right? You know what they called manna? You know why they called it manna? I mean, you know why they called it manna?
Cornflakes.
Cornflakes manna. Because they didn't know what it was. Manna means, what is it? What is it? Yeah. And when the Lord came,
Yeah, he told them. He cleared it up.
Who is this?
They would not have any questions.
They still didn't know who he was.
What the manna was. He said, I am that bread which the Father sent down from heaven.
And they said, who do men say the Son of Man am? And then they could have said, we don't know. Who is he? Whose son is he? Some say he's Elias. Some say John the Baptist. Some say one of the prophets. Manna. Who is he? We don't know. But who do you say? Peter said, who do you say?
And literally doing in that sixth chapter, I don't know what time it is, but literally in that sixth chapter, he even went as far as to tell them that he was the resurrection. If you take of me, you will live forever, you know. And so they just totally reject who he is, you know, for whatever reason. And I guess he made them to do that, but anyway.
He made them.
Talk about going to the land of Canaan, and you're using the word repossession.
Mm-hmm.
All right, who's he repossessing it from?
Satan.
Hey,
no. I'm sorry.
I thought Satan still had it.
I apologize. You weren't asking me the question. I'm sorry.
No, but I thought Satan still had it when he went had Jesus on the mount. He said, "I give you all this."
Yeah. So
what was he? Who was he repossessing from?
Now he just said something very important, but we'll put your question on the shelf and your answer on the shelf because you actually questioned it and you answered it.
Mm-hmm. I hate it when I do that.
Because
hey, Ron.
I'll see you afterwards. Hey, we'll talk. You tell me what it is.
Ron, it's like ESPN. We have the tail of the tape.
No, you. Like you said, it was given away.
Yeah.
He came to get it back. Well, right?
It's an ongoing thing.
And somewhere, he got it back.
Right.
And then somewhere,
he lost it
again.
Yes.
And somewhere, he said, I'm coming to get it back.
Yeah.
The kingdom of heaven is on the way back at hand.
Right.
It's on the way back.
Yeah.
Because who's here?
Lord.
Who's here?
The king.
God.
The king is here.
Yeah.
The rightful king
mm-hmm.
is here. And then, you know what? It's, well, that's your part.
One thing I do want to say to you, though, about what you were commenting about people that don't, how can people that don't know how to rightly divide, how blind they are. Until I knew how to rightly divide, I was looking forward to wrath. I knew where I was going. And I had heard a lot of things out of the Bible. But they told me, until I understood what part was for me, that I was going
burning
to
hell.
Yeah, and when the man finally came along and taught me what part belonged to me, then all of a sudden I had freedom, you know, and I had hope.
And it had been there for 2,000 years.
Right.
The part that belonged to him.
Right. I just, nobody's been telling him to. So.
That's something.
Yeah.
Mr. Roy, we usually don't tarry as long.
No, it's fine. No, it's fine.
But since everybody's here, I won't be here Sunday, but I will say, you know, Merry Christmas in advance. And, you know, I was thinking about just while we doing this is first to Ed and Annette is ever since we've been here, they've always been, you know, given the hospitality. They've opened their homes and their hearts up to us. And just for Ed to, you know, to be a co-laborer with him in the ministry that he started, him and his wife, and just to the transparency that they both have, and it's just been a blessing, you know. I really appreciate them both, and I know you guys do too. And I'll just go down the line. Ron, he's been through, you know, some things, and I just, it's a blessing to see him grow in the Lord. And just for the Lord to sustain him through you know, what he's been through. And we all have problems, but, you know, I can't say that I've been through what he's been through. So, you know what? And I appreciate, you know, his, the Lord working through him and Karen, that the time that she gives to the ministry and her zeal for the Word of God and to learn and to grow and the questions and just the, you know what? And the to love enough to try to reach out to help people. You know, it's those, Paul said, you know what? You call on them that love the Lord out of a pure heart. And you know what? And you, if any man love the Lord, the same is known of him. And you know what? The people that we're around, these, you guys, you know we love the Lord. It's not a religion. It's a we look for a relationship. And Melissa, who I short time that I've known her, is she's been through a lot too. And some things that we say are hard to be understood. That's natural. But you just keep growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. You know what? If you search him, he will, you know what? Diligently, he will reward it. This thing was not done in the corner, and he wants us to know it. And to Lawrence and Sharon, the same time frame that you guys have been here, only the Lord can remove a couple from where you guys were and bring them to this little building over here.
Only God.
And what I like about her is her, that's Sarah. That's Abraham. That's Sarah. She, you know what I like? She gets it. She gets that relationship. She don't even have to say it. She gets it. I know it. Because you know how you, if it, how can a man know what's in a man save the spirit of man that's in him? She don't have to say nothing. I know she gets it, and you got a good one. And you know it. And for Lawrence to, you know what, to come over, and despite me, I know he heard Ed, but I know he didn't want to come back. When he heard me, he said, he told me. He said, when I heard you, he said, I don't think I don't think we're going to make it. But you know what? In spite of me, you know what? The Lord has been able to, you know, to, and maybe you offset what all the bad things I say. You do that. And Mr. Roy, you 2 days. Again, the Lord has reached out again. And who knows what Mr. Roy was. He's sitting there. He's listening to Les Feldick. And the Lord said, you need some more of this. And you know what? The Lord, you know what? Works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He calls and he gets in contact with it. He said, you know what? There's a place. This from Whitehaven to over here. Who knows what's coming next year? All the other people who are not here, Jerry and Jerry, Frank, and everybody who's come through here. You know what? It's
the Hughes.
And I remember the days when we would be at his house, and you know, and Ed has a heart for the ministry. It's obvious, and. And I will always, you know, think of this. The Lord, you got 20 or 30. Just perfect those. And then, you know what? The Lord, this is the Lord's body.
Right.
He builds the body.
Right.
We don't. If we start building the body, then we're no different from the religion. What we do is perfect the saints. And then, you know what? The Lord, he builds the body as he sees fit. And you know what? It's a privilege and an honor just to crack this book open. So you guys, you know what? I love you. And for this holiday coming up, we know we don't get caught up in the, you know, but I won't be here, but I love all of you. And sincere, really, I do.
I was fixing to ask you something. Do you really?
And for you, enjoy your family. And let's try to redeem the time over the holiday, and just not make it a commercial deal. If we can share Christ with someone, or you know what, just a little more information to the glory of the Lord, and we'll do that, and we'll see you guys, if the Lord tarry,
next Tuesday.
We'll right. Next Tuesday. All right. Oh, let me. I appreciate that. Let me spout off. We'll pray. You know what? Anybody want to lead us in prayer?
Father, we just do thank you so much for the blessings you've given us as a body. And we thank you for Frank and the heart that he also has for loving you, loving your word, and teaching it. And just for helping us remember today what a special group of people you've gathered together, each one a real important part of the body and greatly missed when they're not here. And how we... excuse me, wanted to stand up for your word somewhere on a street and shout out your word in context, rightly divided, and you've given us the opportunity to be here now for 3 years, and we just thank you so much for that. And if it be known that every person that's come, when Sharon and Lawrence came, our hearts just jumped and to know them, and we loved them immediately. And when Roy calls up and says he's coming and he's got the hunger for the word too, our hearts just jump. And it's just such a privilege, Lord, to be yours and to know your real truth. And so sad that so many don't, but we do just leave it in your hands to use us over these days in whatever way you have planned. You know the land, and you know its name, and you know the people, and you know how you're going to use us. And we just ask that you help us to just sit down and be weak in ourselves and just depend on you and be there for whatever you put in front of us. We just thank you so much again for all the blessings you've given us. And we pray in the name of your Son and our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We all get handful of CDs.